Good morning, church. Near the end of your Bible in the New Testament is a little book called Philemon. And the Apostle Paul wrote this book and was requesting something, I think, very radical of Philemon, who had just come to know Christ. Philemon's slave, Onesimus, had run away. And Paul was requesting that Philemon forgive Onesimus. Now, this was, I'm sure, a very controversial thing, because in this case, running away, if you were a slave, was a crime, and Onesimus should have been punished, but Paul is requesting, would you just forgive him? You know, Paul was also harboring Onesimus, which was also a crime that should have been punished. And so Paul is asking, would you walk in a spirit of forgiveness? Onesimus has come to the Lord. You have come to the Lord, Philemon. Would you walk in forgiveness? I'm sure all those who are listening to Paul and knew of the situation had two very different kinds of views, like there are today about COVID-19 and about how the church should respond. So many different kinds of views that probably divided some people. But here's the thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, friends. The gospel of Jesus Christ reconciles people to Jesus and to each other. Paul being a Jew, Philemon being a Gentile who then comes to know Jesus Christ, and Onesimus being a slave who also comes to know Jesus Christ. It unifies them. And when I think about you, the church, who I love so much, I think about all the different views and different opinions that we all have, which are all fine. I found myself welling up with great love for you, the same love that Paul has for Philemon. And the Apostle Paul prayed these words for Philemon. And I want to just start out this service today saying, church, I love you. And I want to pray this same prayer for all of us today, coming from Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. So this is my prayer for you. And I'm going to insert the name Tenasket Free Methodist Church here where it says Philemon. Every time your name comes up in my prayers, I say, oh, thank you, God. I keep hearing of the love and faith you have for the Master Jesus, which brims over to other believers. And I keep praying that this faith we all hold in common keeps showing up in the good things that we do, and that people recognize Christ in all of it. Friend, you have no idea how good your love makes me feel, doubly so when I see your hospitality to fellow believers. Friends, I'm encouraged by you with how you're walking through this challenging time together. And I keep praying for you every day that this faith that we hold in common, that you would keep doing good so it reflects Christ to others. Hey, if you've been watching our online services every week, you know that I've been in a series called Rooted, in which I've been talking about spiritual maturity. I've said something probably almost every week, that you can't be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature, meaning that we've got to take care of some things that are underneath the surface of our lives if we are going to grow in Christ. This last week, God kind of woke me up in the middle of the night. Not kind of, He did. And I began to make some notes. You know, I had a message that was all planned for this Sunday. I had it almost finished when God woke me up. And God had me write down some notes. And one of the things that He said to me in our angst to meet again in person and in our church building that's behind us, He seemed to say, Ryan, gathering in a building or in person is important, but it's not as important as in the spirit of how we gather. You know, we can gather again, which I hope to very soon, but what matters is not just the gathering, it's the spirit and how we gather. You know, if we do not gather in the right spirit, we dismantle the work of Christ that he has been doing in people's lives and in the church for hundreds of years. Let me give you an illustration. The Orthodox Church officials in Russia discovered in 2008 that one of their church buildings had disappeared. Poof, it was gone. The 200-year-old building in northeast of Moscow had been unused for a decade, but the Orthodox Church was experiencing growth, and they were considering reopening the church building, and that's when they discovered their building wasn't there. They had to get to the bottom of this. After investigating the matter, the church officials did not blame aliens from outer space for the missing structure, no. Rather, they said the perpetrators were villagers from a nearby town whom they said had taken the bricks, and they sold the bricks from the building to a businessman. For each brick, the thieves received 1 ruble, about 4 cents. This two-story church facility, friends, did not go from being a building to not being a building overnight. No, rather, it was brick by brick, chiseled out by a lot of people over time. Friends, I want to remind us that I think you know this already, but churches, yes, they're built with physical things like brick and mortar, but a church is God's people. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple." Friends, I know that we have different opinions about COVID-19, and there's some divisiveness that is going around in the Christian community. But I want to say this. When we reopen our building, if we do not gather in the right spirit, we are like the people that remove those bricks one by one, and we dismantle the work of Christ in people's lives and in the life of the church. 1 Peter 3:8 says this, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude." I want to let you know that I, your pastor, and your lead team, we're hard at work with trying to figure out all the details that our government has laid out for us to meet in person again. And there's so many different details that we're looking at. But probably what is more important than all of the details is the spirit and how we gather. The first thing I want to talk about this morning comes from Luke chapter 15. And I want to say this, gathering together in the right spirit is what matters. We must gather in the spirit of love. When we think about all of the details in gathering again, and when we gather again, we must gather in the spirit of love. For the last 2 weeks, there's been this common theme of love that has come up in our sermons. And I think sometimes when we talk about love, some people might say, "Oh, he's talking about love again." Or I think sometimes when we talk about love, we have, I don't know, these different gushy, mushy kind of feelings that maybe come up within us. And I think sometimes when we talk about love, we only talk about love in the way that we have defined it ourselves. Or we talk about love in the way that we have received love from someone else, or how we have given love to somebody else. But I want to say this morning that the love that we talk about here in church as Christians is a love that we don't define for ourselves. It's already been defined for us in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:10 tells us this. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So friends, as we continue to walk through this challenging time, I want to say again, and you'll probably hear me say it over and over again, that every decision we make here as a church, we make from love. We want to be led by love. Love of God and love of others. Every decision will come from that position of loving God and loving others. And I want to say this morning, you are loved. You are deeply loved by me and by others, but more importantly, by Jesus. I want you to know that. Bob Goff, in his book called Love Does, he said this, "But the kind of love that God created and demonstrated is a costly one because it involves sacrifice and presence." When I think about this costly love, I think of Luke chapter 15. You know, Jesus in Luke chapter 15, he tells three stories called parables. The story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and the story of the lost son. And as he's telling these stories, there's the religious leaders called the Pharisees. They're standing around and they're kind of outraged about what Jesus is saying and the kind of love that he is expressing here. Hey, it's not fair that you're talking about this kind of love and showing this kind of love for these rebellious people. I mean, this son who has squandered the father's money. I mean, just let him go. Just let him go. Author N.T. Wright says this about Luke 15. He said this in a lecture. He said this, "The most profound interpretation of Luke 15 is the one that none of us do. Jesus is calling us to live lives of such substance of love that it confuses the religious leaders around us. That we must create new parables to try to tell people why and what we are doing." That's the kind of love that Jesus calls us to. A love that so confuses people. A love that so causes people to question, what is up with these guys? This extreme kind of radical love that Jesus shows us. So, in this time where many of us have strong convictions, where many of us have strong beliefs about the right way to live during this time, I want to ask you a question, church. Are you growing in a spirit of love for another that doesn't hold the same view towards you? Are you growing in a spirit of love for people who might want to be cautious or who might not want to return to church as fast as you? Friends, for those who are a little cautious, are you growing in a spirit of love for people who want to return to church? Are you growing in a spirit of love for your brother or sister? The second thing I want to say this morning is that gathering in the right spirit matters. We must gather in a spirit of unity. Friends, we are living in this amazing time. I was just telling someone this morning, we're living in this amazing time where we can embrace what God is doing in us as we walk through this challenge. As we walk through these days of uncertainty, we can embrace it and we can grow through this time. You know, the book of James reminds us that trials and things like that, they develop us and they help us to become mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so we can embrace that and say, Lord, thank you for how you're growing me now. And when it comes to walking with others, it's okay to have differences. It's okay to have a different opinion. But when our differences become divisive, that's when we become ineffective as a follower of Jesus Christ. When our differences become divisive, that's when we become ineffective as a church, as a people of God. I remember going fishing with my friend when we were young, when we were probably 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there, and our net was broken. I don't know how many of you ever tried, you know, to catch a fish with a broken net, but it doesn't work very well. I can tell you that, so don't try it. It's very difficult. And you know, when we as a church do not walk together in unity under the authority of Jesus Christ, it doesn't work very well. It's like fishing with a broken net. Paul in Romans chapter 14 is dealing with the divisiveness in a church. This church, some thought, you know, it's right to gather for worship on one day. And for some, they thought, you know, it's right to gather for church on another day. And for some, they said, you know, it's wrong to eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols. And some said, you know, it's no problem at all. And we have that similar thing happening right now. There's people that want to be cautious in coming back to church. There's people that want to come back to church. And that's okay. But Paul challenges us here in Romans 14 to walk in unity. Let me just read this for us. Romans chapter 14, 5 through 10, you can follow along at home in your Bible, but it says this: in the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor Him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord, both of the living and the dead. He goes on to say, so why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Friends, it's not wrong to make judgments about people who might have a different thing, but what a different belief than you. But what Paul is talking about here, it's wrong to pass judgment, because we all make judgments every day. You're judging this sermon, perhaps. You're judging the worship, whether it was good or not. You're making judgments every day. But what Paul is saying is, we do not have the right or the authority to pass judgment. You know, passing judgment means that you look beyond what a person says or does into the very heart of the person, as though you have the ability to know their heart motivation. And Paul is saying, we do not have the authority to pass judgment. Notice again what Paul says in verse 10. He says, so why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So passing judgment belongs to a higher authority, and His name is God, and I am not God, and you're not God. And so we must not be people of God who pass judgment. There's only one judge. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart, and you cannot. We just can't. Paul goes on to say this then in Romans 14, verses 13 through 16. And I'm going to read it from the Message. I think it puts it in some everyday language that you and I can clearly understand. Eugene Peterson says this: forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it is already. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, can contaminate it. If you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, you're no longer a companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons for whom Christ died. So as we begin to think about details, as we begin to long for some of us to be back in our building, for some of us who are just walking through, surviving through COVID-19, let's remember not to pass judgment. We want to be companions with people in the love of Jesus Christ. Friends, Psalm 133 says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together or live together in unity." It's good. It's pleasant because it reflects the heart of God. Living together in unity, the psalmist in 133 goes on to say, it's like unity is like oil. Oil was used a lot in the Middle East. When someone would come into a person's home, they would put oil on somebody's head and it would be soothing. It was used to heal wounds. It was refreshing. Unity is like that. It's refreshing. It's like a cup of cold water on a hot, dry mouth. And friends, that's what we're called to. We're called to walk in the spirit of unity. And friends, if you find yourself passing judgment during this time, I want to call you, I want to challenge you to stop and go back to this passage here in Romans 14. And then say, "Lord Jesus, help me, help others around me not to be people who pass judgment, because there's only one judge. Help us walk in the spirit of unity." The third thing I want to share this morning with you is that gathering together in the right spirit matters. I've said that 3 times. It matters. And we must gather again. We will gather again in the power of the Holy Spirit. John 6, verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Friends, it's not natural for us to walk in a spirit of love. I know that because I'm not perfect in that. Friends, it's not natural to want to walk in a spirit of unity. It's not. That's why the Bible in Colossians tells us to put on love. That's why the Bible tells us to walk in a spirit of unity, because it's not natural. We have to seek the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. He is the one that enables us to walk and live in love and live in the spirit of unity. You know, the essence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is in how we love one another and how we love in this way that confuses people, as N.T. Wright says. It's how we honor one another in our differences, in the differences of our opinion, by not passing judgment, by laying down our life and our rights so that others can experience this radical kind of love that Jesus talks about. Friends, I've been seeking the Lord a lot these days. And when I read about persecution in the Bible, I read about these disciples and how they experienced persecution. And how at the same time as they experienced persecution, they continued to seek the Lord. And it says they were filled with joy and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, I don't know totally how God works. I just want to tell you that. But there's something that happens when we're seeking the Lord. He fills us with this extreme amount of joy and in the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us, friends. If you think you can walk in the spirit of love and unity by yourself, you can't. But if you seek the power of the Holy Spirit, He enables you to do that. Ephesians 5:18 reminds us to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, if you're not trusting and relying on the Holy Spirit that lives in you, it's like you're just walking on a treadmill. You're not going anywhere. But I'm telling you what, if you seek the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, He will fill you with all joy. And He will enable you to walk and live in the spirit of love, in the spirit of unity. Friends, I want to challenge us this morning. I want to invite someone this morning. If you are not walking in the spirit of love, if you have found yourself passing judgment on another believer, would you just ask God to forgive you this morning? Would you take that step and say, Lord Jesus, I want to walk in the spirit of love. I want to walk in the spirit of unity. And I desperately need to start relying on the Holy Spirit in my life. You can do that today. You can call out to Jesus today. And He'll fill you with His Spirit. You have been filled, but He will fill you once again. And friend, if you are not walking with Jesus, I want to challenge you to get in the ring with Jesus this morning. And just say, Jesus, I need to know this love that this pastor keeps talking about. I need unity in my family. I need to know this. You can know this today. I say every week, there's a little button that's popping up on the screen through our website. If you're watching this through our website, it's just a button, but it becomes something bigger than a button. It becomes a commitment that you're making before the Lord. And sometimes we need to take a step like that. And so I challenge you to do that this morning. Friends, we're going to move into a time of communion at God's table. We're going to transition into that. But I want to say this, friends, to the church of Tenasket. Historically, the church has always stepped up to the plate, especially during times of crisis. And friends, we can do that again. We can step up to the plate. I know you can. And we can be the people that walk in a spirit of love and in unity. And most importantly, walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do this today with the Lord being our helper. And so friends, we are going to transition into this time of communion, celebrating at the Lord's table. I want to say this, I long for the day when we can meet again in person to do this together. I think communion is best expressed with the body of Christ. But I also know this, that we serve a big God who can transcend the internet and who can come by His Holy Spirit right now and remind you of His love for you and His great sacrifice. So we're going to pause for a moment. There'll be a video on the screen. And I would just encourage you right now to prepare your hearts for communion.
As I said, friends, I believe that communion is best expressed in community. But the Bible also says that where there are two or more gathered together, He is in our midst. And so Christ is with you today. I've got Pastor Mac here together as we stand together in unity and in the spirit of love. We come to this table this morning not trusting in our own self-confidence, but only in the confidence of the sacrifice of Jesus. Communion is mentioned in our world today in different ways. It's called the Lord's Supper. It's called the Lord's Table. It's called communion. It's called the Eucharist, which is a Thanksgiving meal. But however you call it, communion was instituted by Him and for Him, to remember Him, and to commune with Him, and to talk with Him. And so, to prepare our hearts for receiving communion this morning, I've asked Pastor Mac to read Matthew 26, verses 20 through 25.
When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, He said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray Me." They were very sad and began to say to Him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean Me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with Me will betray Me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about Him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray Him, said, "Surely you don't mean Me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so."
Friends, this table reminds us and gives us a way to thank Christ for His sacrifice. It reminds us of the sin that Jesus died for. It reminds us to confess any sin. You know, Jesus already knows our sin, but sometimes we have to admit to ourselves that we have sinned and confess that to God. I'm so grateful that 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sin. And that's what He has done in His sacrifice. And that's what we remember today. Let me read you these words continuing on in Matthew 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body." And so we can take it together in the spirit of love of Christ, the spirit of unity, and the spirit of His Holy Spirit that empowers us to live for Him. Moving on, after supper, Jesus took a cup, and He held it up, saying to His disciples, "This is My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So as we take this cup this morning, remember that the Holy Spirit is working in you to walk in the spirit of love, to walk in the spirit of unity. And we thank His Holy Spirit for giving us power to live and to say no to sin that Jesus has already overcome. Amen. Let's receive this with thanks. Father, we thank You for this great sacrifice. And Father, as I've said time and time again, thank You does not seem enough, but it's the words that we use. And Father, may it not only be words that we use, but Father, help us to leave from this place to put actions to the words that we say and actions to the words that we believe. And let Your Holy Spirit be evident in our lives and to all who are looking on at the church today. May we truly be people who gather in the right spirit, because gathering in the right spirit matters. And we do this through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Church, I love you, and we'll see you next week. Amen. Have a great Sunday.